Welcome to the Farmers Inside Track podcast. Each week, we break down crucial elements of agricultural practices to empower farmers in Mzansi to maximize their productivity and efficiency. I'm your host, Dawn Numdu, and in this episode, we're exploring critical questions surrounding climate-smart beef production systems. This is part two featuring Mutsabi Mokolobate Chadiwa, junior researcher in animal breeding and genetics at the Agricultural Research Council. You can scroll down to listen to part one, focused on how climate-smart beef systems can be designed to enhance both adaptation and mitigation strategies in the face of climate change. This time around, we address the role of sustainable grazing practices in climate-smart beef production systems, the integration of agroforestry, plus some insights into the necessary policy interventions and incentives to encourage the adoption of these practices globally. Mutsabi, welcome back to Farmers Inside Track. It is a pleasure to welcome you back to the podcast. We had started talking about climate-smart beef production, what it's all about, what farmers should understand when it comes to the environment and producing beef to accommodate changing climate. You gave us specific measures to put in place. But if we could just do a quick recap on the previous episode, that would be great. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Just a quick one on how can climate-smart beef systems be designed to enhance both adaptation and mitigation strategies in the global warming context. One thing we need to do would be to design climate-smart beef systems by integrating strategies that only adapt to the impacts but also mitigate the effect. And some of the ways that I mentioned, not only limited to things like pasture management, by implementing rotational grazing practices, this can enhance carbon sequestration in soils while improving pasture productivity. And this also aids in preserving soil health and biodiversity. Secondly, feed efficiency. Improving feed quality and efficiency can reduce methane emissions per unit of beef produced. Thirdly, breeding for climate resilience. And we do that by selecting cattle breeds that are better adapted to the local environment conditions, such as heat tolerance and disease resistance and so forth. And to manage water efficiently, like using practices such as water harvesting and so forth. And that's more or less some of the things that I mentioned last week.
Thank you so much for that overview once again. And I'm going to kick off with my first question. What role does sustainable grazing practices play in climate-smart beef production systems? If you can just recap that again, and how can they be promoted on a broader scale?
Sustainable grazing practices play a crucial role in the climate-smart beef production system by optimizing land use, enhancing soil health, reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, and promoting ecosystem resilience. And several ways that they can contribute or they can be promoted on a larger or a broader scale by improving soil health, enhancing biodiversity. There would be a proper grazing management support. Proper grazing management supports diverse plant and animal species and promoting biodiversity conservation. And healthy ecosystems are more resilient to climate variability and disturbances. Thirdly, reducing erosion and runoff. Sustainable grazing practices can also reduce soil erosion and minimize nutrient runoff into water bodies, and thereby it protects the water quality and mitigates the environmental pollution and enhances ecosystem resilience. And we've spoken about water management and so forth. One other thing that we could also do is by promoting ecosystem services, such as sustainable grazing practices. They provide a various ecosystem service, such as pollination, nutrient cycling, and habitat provision. Recognizing and valuing these services can make farmers adopt these practices on a broader scale. And one thing that we often lack in our part of the continent is knowledge sharing and efficient use of extension services. When we provide education, training, and extension services to beef producers on a sustainable grazing practice, it can promote adoption and implementation by farmers. We also share success stories and we demonstrate the benefits of using these practices that we come up with. And the role of policy support cannot be overemphasized when we have adequate and relevant policies, because these policies that support sustainable grazing practices, such as when we provide subsidies for conservation programs, incentives for ecosystem services, and regulations to prevent overgrazing and land degradation, can also create a conducive environment for their adoption. One important thing also would be a market incentive. Creating market incentive for sustainably produced beef can encourage producers to adopt and maintain sustainable grazing practices. For example, when certification, labeling schemes, and maybe premium pricing, possibly if possible, for sustainable beef products can drive a demand and promote broader adoption. These are just a few that I could mention, but yes.
Thank you so much for that, Motsabi. That's actually more than a few. The last part that you mentioned is also to do with, you know, the consumers and the overall awareness of how our food is,
yes,
which is also a really big aspect of the conversation that can never be overlooked. So thank you so much for highlighting that aspect as well. How can the integration of agroforestry or silvopastoral systems contribute to climate resistance of beef production and mitigate environmental impact? Maybe you can also just explain those two concepts as well, please.
Agroforestry and silvopastoral, is the essence of it is just integration of crops, trees, and livestock, not only having just crops only, but we mix the different crops and trees. For example, trees will provide shade and shelter for the livestock and thereby reducing the heat stress and improving animal welfare. And the byproducts of the crops will be used as feed to the animals. And this will enhance the resilience of the overall production system to heat waves and other climate-related stresses. So the pastoral system also helps in, for example, the trees that will be planted in an agroforestry would also help in sequestering carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. And that would also help to mitigate the climate change by reducing greenhouse concentrations.
Motsabi, you mentioned, you know, policies and policy interventions or incentives in response to one of my previous questions. But, you know, how can these, you know, interventions, policy interventions or incentives, you know, encourage the adoption of climate smart practices in beef production on a global scale?
So encouraging the adoption of climate smart practices in our beef production, in beef production on a global scale, requires quite a lot. It requires a combination of policy interventions, incentives to incentivize and support these practices. The farmers need to know what is in it for them. There should be some sort of incentive. You know, the overall aim of the farmer would be to get some monetary value to it. So when incentivized, we also promote the use of climate smart practices. And some key interventions and incentives necessary for promoting climate smart beef production would be like providing incentive for the producers that adopt practices, like I said, that reduce emissions, enhance carbon sequestration. Public awareness and education. Conducting public awareness and education campaigns on the environmental impacts of beef production and the benefits of climate smart practices can raise consumer awareness and drive the demand for sustainable beef products and creating a market incentive for producers, like I said, that adopt these practices. One other thing that is very, very important would be stakeholder collaboration and partnerships, and this cannot be overemphasized. Fostering collaboration and partnerships among government, agricultural organizations or research institutions, NGOs, private sector, governments, all stakeholders can facilitate knowledge sharing, innovation, and a coordinated action to promote climate smart beef production. And the other thing would be market access and trade policies. When facilitating market access for climate smart beef products through trade policies, preferential market access agreements, and eco-label recognition, like I mentioned earlier, can create export opportunities and incentivize producers to adopt these. And by implementing these incentives, government and industry stakeholders and civil society can collectively promote climate smart beef production on a global scale, contributing to environmental sustainability and resilience in the face of climate change. One other thing that I didn't mention on the market access would be that when we have these trade policies, we also alleviate biasness towards certain breeds. For example, we know that there's a lot of discrimination that some indigenous breeds in the whole value chain. So policies and trade policies and market access will alleviate such.
It's important to kind of understand what's happening in all aspects, you know, of the industry when it comes to the practice in itself, and that it's not just people working in silos, but it's a collective action. It brings me to my next question in terms of, you know, collaboration and how does the beef industry really collaborate with others in the sector? You know, the use of technology, financing, research, which is specifically your, you know, line of work at the Agricultural Research Council, to kind of enhance the overall sustainability and climate resilience of the production chain.
Collaboration between the industry, the beef industry, and other sectors such as technology, research institutions, finance, government, and so forth is very essential to the enhancing of the overall sustainability and climate resilience of the production chain. And to mention a few ways that collaboration could be fostered would be, most importantly, research collaboration. We've got a tremendous research groups, various research groups doing great work. However, most often than not, we find ourselves working in silos. And I personally believe that we can do a lot better than we are doing when we work together as a team. The beef industry can also collaborate with, like I mentioned, institutions, research institutions, to develop and adopt innovative technologies and practices that improve sustainability. And this collaboration, we could also focus, which we do here in the ARC, focus areas such as breeding for climate resilience, improving feed efficiency, and enhancing soil health through ecological practices. And through one other thing would be through technology integration. Collaborating with technology companies could also help the beef industry leverage advancements in precision agriculture and so forth. Financial partnerships, supply chain partnerships. When we collaborate with stakeholders across the supply chain, including retailers, processors, distributors, can promote transparency, traceability, and sustainability throughout the whole production chain. And this whole land may involve implementation standards, implementing certification standards, establishing a responsible sourcing practices, like I mentioned, incentivizing sustainable production through procurement policies I mentioned earlier. And like I said, you also want to pull in all stakeholders, whether a commercial producer, small-scale producer, where there is no biases or discrimination of our indigenous breeds.
As we wrap up the conversation, I want to kind of point out some of the research gaps that exist, you know, in understanding the long-term impacts of climate change on beef production. And what areas should be prioritized, you know, for what areas should be prioritized for future investigation and innovation? And here you can just, you know, explore all of the aspects that you're aware of, also based on your current research and work in the field, Motsabi.
What we noticed, what we've picked up, or some of the gaps that we have noted in recent work that we have done for the FAO is that when we look at the human side, we see that generally we are more prepared for outbreaks such as your COVID and the likes, the preparedness part of it. The human side, we are prepared. But when coming to animal agriculture, there is a lack of research being done for preparedness and how to address climate change. So more research should also be based on the preparedness side of things. There are quite a number of studies of vulnerability studies and so forth, but we need to take it a step further. when we have assessed and seen who's vulnerable to what extent and so forth, then in case it happens, what should be the reaction? How can we be proactive in minimizing the effects there of climate change? We often work in silos. We often find solution to a particular problem. And in the realities of life is that we solve problems in isolation. Yes, it somewhat helps to some extent. However, we see that when we work in multi-sectors or across sections, or if I may put it, when we address solution, we address problems by giving systematic solutions, not one isolated solution to a certain problem, goes a way better than addressing breeding in isolation. But when we address issues like, for example, breeding in the context of the whole beef production system, and what that beef production would be would differ from farmer to farmer. From one farmer would be cow-calf extension production system, and for one farmer, it would be whether it's your study or commercial, and it would be your ox winner production system. So those solutions may differ from one production system to the other. But when we solve them systematically, we are addressing problem to that particular sector. So it's important that we address issues systematically in that way.
Thank you so much for your time once again, Motsabi. I'm hoping to still, you know, pick your brain a lot more when it comes to this topic on our various other platforms in the future. But if you can just leave our farmers with last final word before we wrap up. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Dawn. One thing that I could leave our farmers with is that they should not forget to measure, because to measure is to know. And this is not only for the farmers, it is for us, all stakeholders involved. We should not neglect the measurement side of things. There may be other technologies which are also important, but let us not leave the fundamentals. And secondly, is to collaborate. Collaboration, collaboration. I cannot overemphasize this one. Farmers need to look at their business this way. One win for a certain farmer is a win for you also, because if you feel so competitive that you don't want to be helpful to your maybe next door neighbor farmer, there's a disease outbreak, one way or the other, you'll be impacted, whether directly or indirectly. So collaboration more than unhealthy competitiveness. We need to educate ourselves. There's no end to this learning. This global phenomenon of climate change, we learn as we go and we keep on improving ourselves, and avail your farms for research purposes. If there are researchers at your door knocking, asking if they could conduct some research, open your doors to them, because we need to conduct research so that we give science-based solutions to the ongoing global phenomenon of climate change.
Thank you so much for sharing your expertise, Motsabi Mokolobate Chadiwa, Junior Researcher in Animal Breeding and Genetics at the Agricultural Research Council. And to you, our listener, thank you so much for joining us here on Farmers Inside Track. Until next time, take care and keep farming smart. And remember, for more insights on optimizing your agricultural practices, visit Farmers Inside Track on www.foodformzanzi.co.za. From me, Dawn Numdu, our technical producer Megan van der Vent, and the rest of the hashtag Team FoodformZanzi, happy farming.
Life in South Africa can be a lot. I mean, scroll through Twitter for a minute and tell me I'm wrong. Thank God for South Africans though, right? We're inspiring, and even on the bad days, we fight back with a smile. That's why I love FoodformZanzi so much. They're not ashamed to celebrate the ordinary unsung heroes who work every day to put food on our nation's tables. Go to foodformzanzi.co.za and never miss an inspiring story.